Hello, ODAC fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the ODAC Podcast. My name is J.J. Nekloff. I'm the Associate Commissioner with the Old Dominion Athletic Conference, and as always, joined by the Commissioner, Brad Bankston. Brad, how are you today?
Doing great, J.J. Lamenting, given we're talking about golf today, the fact that I'm not on the links, but it's a little cold and a little windy. Seeing some people walking about with toboggans on today. I think fall is upon us.
Yeah, this is the stuff I grew up with, though, because, you know, growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, you took what you can in the fall because the courses would be closing down here really soon. So you gotta go out there and play. So steel shafts, none of that graphite stuff, and go out there and get it done. So it is what it is. We're recording this on Thursday, October 23rd. We'll see about posting it. Maybe come out on Friday for those of you that are fans of the ODAC podcast. But as Brad said, talk a little bit about ODAC golf here. It is a fall sport in addition to a spring sport, although championship is in the spring, so technically by the NCAA classified as a spring sport. But lots of rounds here for all the programs this fall. Still got one or two more tournaments to go here in the final week, including a big one on the men's side down in Greensboro with Guilford hosting the O'Brien Jensen Memorial. So that'll be a big one, or the O'Brien Jensen Invitational. I can't remember what they actually call it here right now, but it's a very well-attended tournament with a lot of nationally ranked teams that'll be there, several ODAC schools that'll be there because ODAC schools are ranked. So it's a reason why they'll be in place there. But we took the opportunity to go ahead and talk with the director of golf at Randolph-Macon College, Brian Hearn. Brian's been in the ODAC for a long time. He was the head coach at Virginia Wesleyan for a while before leaving to go out of conference for a couple of years, and then came back a few years ago to run the women's program at Randolph-Macon, and this past summer was elevated to the director of golf. So now he oversees both programs and has had a lot of success on the women's side here so far, with them nationally ranked number 10 right now and a few players inside the top 100 in Division III. The men's program has got some growing to do right now, but as he'll talk about, as you'll be able to hear, you know, he's working on that right now, working on that team culture coming up next. So, Brad, why don't we go ahead and take a few minutes and listen to our interview with Brian Hearn. We're joined by Director of Golf at Randolph-Macon, Brian Hearn. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm good, JJ. How about you guys?
You know what? It's championship time actually coming up for us here. You know, we're recording this interview here on Thursday, October 23rd. And, you know, Brad and I, we haven't put our other pieces together of this particular show just yet. So we're certainly going to talk about it. But on Friday, we've got the Equestrian Championship, which is the first one. So we're certainly into all that. But then next weekend is the Cross Country Championship. And then we've got field hockey, men's and women's soccer, and volleyball coming through. The Chesapeake Challenge for football associated with us in the Landmark Conference. So there's lots of things happening. And oh, by the way, swimming has started, wrestling is about to start, and men's and women's basketball is about to start, and men's and women's golf, which we're talking about with you, has been going.
He's just trying to make you feel bad for him.
And men's and women's tennis is still a thing, too. So we got lots of stuff.
We're excited to have a job. We're excited to have a job and be promoting great student athletes and great institutions.
I mean, to me, it's the equivalent of chasing a two-year-old. So
I know. It's there. Sometimes it's like that. But let's talk a little golf with you here now. Let's start on the women's side for you. Your women's program, ranked number 10 in the country, just two spots behind Washington and Lee, which is number 8 right now. And these are the new Clip scoreboard rankings that have come out. These are the ones for folks watching at home or listening at home, I should say, that obviously we've got the coaches' polls with the WGCA on the women's side and the Bushnell poll, Golf Week poll on the men's side. But it's these Clip rankings. These are the ones that are going to tell that if you don't earn an automatic qualifier from your conference, then this is the information that's going to inform both championship committees come the springtime for who's going to make at-large bids into the NCAA championship field. So talk to us a little bit about your women's program here. Really great start at some good tournaments. I think your fall season is complete, correct?
But yeah. It's
been pretty good.
Yeah, we finished it up down in Destin at the Golf Week, where we came in second. You know, we were in the running for the first two rounds, and then Williams put the buzzsaw on the field. Really proud of the girls. We set a new school record with a 289, in that third round. So, really pumped up for them. They took down a solid Grinnell and Hamilton team in that sense. But the whole fall, I mean, we've played 30 out of the top 31 teams in the country. I mean, we're not shying away from competition, and we've got the girls to do it. You know, if you look at the rankings, yeah, we're 10 in the country, but we're sixth in the country with scoring average, and we've played 11 rounds. There's not many schools that have played that many rounds in the fall. Usually they're hovering between 6 and 9. So we've got a few extra rounds, and we're sitting at 6th in the country in the strokes average. But yeah, really excited for the girls. You know, Morgan and Lily and Alexis have all come out strong. And then we've got our freshman, Grace Ann Haggerty, who, you know, might be in the running for a rookie of the year this year. We'll see, you know, that could be number 4 in a row. Yeah, it's exciting times for our women's program for sure.
Brian, what's the best time for these student athletes to play golf? Is it the fall? I mean, you're talking about playing 11 rounds in the fall, and do you capitalize on it because they're coming from the, you know, coming off the summer, they've been playing all summer, and from the spring into the summer, do they need a break? And what's the spring like, and what's that preparation time in between as you get geared up for the stretch run?
You know, I think you see it. I don't want to say it's more competitive in the fall, but like you said, they're coming off of that summer work, those summer tournaments, and you get to really see who's been putting in the work and who hasn't, right? I think the fall has its challenges when you have like freshmen coming in and you're trying to work, get a feel for that new team you have, and you do want to capitalize on their playing from the summertime, right? So, you know, I think the fall is very important to get the best out of them while they're hot. But it's also the hardest because like for a freshman coming in, we don't really have a warm-up time. We don't have a preseason, so to speak. I mean, our first day of school, you know, we were playing a Denison's event. So, I mean, they're here for maybe a week or two, and then we're already playing in a golf tournament. And then now they have to adjust to being in class, you know, golf practice, golf tournaments, travel. You're just baptism by fire. Where other sports might have a little leeway, a little time, couple weeks. You know, football's got almost a month before classes start, so these guys can get into a routine. But for golfers, man, it's hard in the fall. So then you get to see, can they handle the stress? You know, that's where the fall is. Like first couple tournaments, yeah, they're playing off of that summer golf, but as you get in more deep in the semester, these freshmen are starting to feel the pressure of class and what the expectations are of professors and all that. So I think the spring, you get to see who worked in the off season, but then you really get everyone settled in and then going at gung ho.
I think we might give you a month if you want to put shoulder pads on and a helmet and,
I'm in.
Need a little conditioning time for golf. If that's all right, I think the membership would be all for giving you some acclimation period in the fall.
That'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be a hell of a spectator sport. There's no doubt about that. Unless you got balls flying around there, it'd be unbelievable.
Full contact on the links. I can see it right now. But, you know, this summer you're talking about things that tournaments that the players are competing in. You know, Morgan played in a pretty impressive tournament this summer, I think a part of the USAM that qualification that went on. I don't know. I can't remember exactly how she played in it, but I think you had two other golfers that qualified for something new here this fall as well. So talk a little bit about, I mean, ancillary to just the collegiate game, talk a little bit about that. And if there's, I can't recall if there's anybody else from the conference that qualified for this new tournament as well.
No, so two summers ago, Morgan qualified and got to play in the U.S. Women's AM. Which was huge. She was the only D3 player to qualify for the U.S. Women's AM. This year, she teamed up with Lily Hall, and the two of them have qualified for the U.S. Women's Four Ball, which is, you know, 64 teams of two will qualify from around the world or from around the country, and they'll travel down to Charleston, South Carolina to play in May. Actually falls between conference and nationals.
That's right. I remember you and I talking about that, kind of the period between the ODAX and the national championship is an extra warm-up period, if you will, for national championships, hopefully.
Yeah, it's going to be really stressful for them. We've already been talking. They've been asking me like, coach, what do we do? And I said, well, when it comes to this, I got no say. You know, we, from a school standpoint, I can't say yay or nay or any of that. I mean, this is all on you guys. So you've got to meet with your professors. You've got to talk about what your missed class looks like and all that good stuff. But as far as the conference and nationals, that's where, you know, we can come and play. But they're pumped, man. They're excited. It's pretty awesome for D3, you know, D3 sports in general to have players on a national level. And especially with golf being an Olympic sport now, you know, this is an opportunity for them to show off their game and put themselves at a new level and, you know, have some, I don't want to say celebrity status or things like that, but if they go deep into it, you know, they're the next, you know, what's the kid's name from,
Gustavus. We just did it in USAM. That's right. Yeah,
You know, and we saw him down at Destin. I mean, just really cool to watch, you know, and that's it's a fun story. Everybody loves an underdog. So, you know, and these two girls can play, man. It would shock me if they don't go far in the four ball.
Well, let's hope they do that. But I think it's indicative of really the growth of women's golf in the ODAC. We're seeing, you know, obviously Washington and Lee being ranked in the top 10 along with you right now. And then I think Lynchburg is in like the 37 range in the national rankings. But we've seen it grow over time. It all started, I mean, with Elizabeth Chang at Hollins and Olivia Bowling at Randolph-Macon, who now I know has come back and has been associated with your program as well. But, yeah, you know, from your perspective, both, you know, as the coach at Randolph-Macon, first on the women's side, now running both programs, and then also doing it at Virginia Wesleyan League, and then still coaching outside of the ODAC. Talk about what you've seen starting off with on the women's side. We'll get to the men here in a second, but the growth of the women's game over time.
Oh, man. It was funny. I was talking with another coach just yesterday about it. You know, the 10th ranked team or the 14th ranked team in the country right now, stroke average is 302.64. That would have won you a national championship 10 years ago.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy, but you got Carnegie Mellon, Emory, and NYU all at 286, 289, 290. You know, that's 2, 3, 4 of a par. So it's wild to see how much growth there's been on the women's side. And to think, like, I've got players going out, we're averaging 299. And I'm thinking, man, I'd kill for that, you know, 10 years ago, you know, and I'm not complaining about it now, trust me, but right, you know, we're in the conversation. We would have won national championships in 13 and 14 when Randolph-Macon was winning the ODAC. So it's really cool to see. And then on the recruiting side of it, man, the pool just keeps getting bigger and bigger and more competitive. And now with D1 enforcing their roster limits and all that stuff, you know, you're getting to see a waterfall effect of talent coming down now that, all right, well, those spots are getting taken. And so now it's moving down to each division and we're starting to get even better. And I think you're going to see, we haven't hit that spot yet, but I think you're going to see a lot of players that want to go D1 that are going to look D3 come and compete and then try to go kind of become a developmental league. And I don't want to see that happen because you definitely want players all 4 years, but you know, with the landscape and how things are growing and with the roster limits, I don't, D1 coaches aren't recruiting high school seniors anymore. They're recruiting from the transfer portal. And so the caliber of golf is going to continue to grow and get better, but the landscape is going to change a lot and you're going to see it become more competitive on all aspects of keeping players.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett.
I think let's transition a little bit into first of all, I guess my observation on the women's side, it's amazing how much we've grown as a league from a competitive perspective. It's nice that it's not, you know, one team and everybody else chasing. It was that way, like you said, early on when Macon had a program and they were kind of leading the way. And then there was the John Rogers group at Bridgewater that really was strong early on. And Washington Lee certainly added the sport and had a lot of success. And it's nice to see the depth. It's nice to see that we're adding teams as well. And we talk about depth on the other side too. You know, you made the transition to be doing both men and women. We've had a lot of depth competitively nationally on the men's side. You know, sometimes having four or five teams ranked in the top 30 in the country, which is amazing. I think that's a product of the dedication our people have put into their programs and the coaches, but also the location. Geography plays a big factor in that. We've done well capitalizing on that. I mean, how's that transition been for you? And, you know, how hard is it to juggle, you know, what you're trying to do with both? I know that it's, you know, if you're talking about chasing a 2-year-old toddler at the beginning, it's now you got two groups of cats to herd instead of just one. And they got a lot going on. So how's that worked out for you?
You know, it's exciting. I'm really enjoying it because, you know, on one hand, I've grown the program on the women's side, and I have the opportunity to do it on the men's side. And you guys know, I did the same thing at Virginia Wesleyan when I first started and growing that program. And there's a lot of similarities in the growth now. You know, men's golf, the same as women, has gotten so much better. And you're looking at players like McEwen from WNL who are putting up 10, 11, 12 under every tournament. It's like, man, all right, now I used to set my parameters at like 77 or better. And if I'm getting kids that are shooting 77, I'm going to be at the back of the pack, you know? And so it's fun now to see the different, how the game has grown and the different caliber of players. And then again, the pool is so much greater now that there's so many more kids to pick from. So it's not now just about score. It's about who's the right fit, who matches your personality, who matches your team's chemistry, you know, pulling that right player that's going to fit well with the Macon lifestyle and education and what our culture here is. So it's for me here in doing both, it's a good challenge. I've got a great assistant in Joe Lestumbo who's joined the crowd. He played D1 golf, but very knowledgeable in the sport and with the rules. But he's helped. He's their age in a sense. You know, he just graduated. So he's helped kind of bridge that gap of my age and these guys and helping me understand what they're going through now compared to when I was coaching guys 7-8 years ago. But there's a lot of good things moving in the right direction here. And, you know, I'm pumped. I'm excited for it.
Well, I think it's really cool what we've been seeing coming across. And you've got the pedigree, you know, taking over the men's program there at Randolph-Macon. I know we talk about, you know, where your women's squad is now. Your men's squad's not quite there, but I know you're working that process. And you've done that before. Did it at Virginia Wesleyan there once where you had a national champion with Evan Cox and he ended up transferring. We talked about that before on the women's side, the transfer portal going out, I think it was Kentucky, yeah. You know, going back over there. But, you know, talk about the progression that you're making with the men's program right now, what the focus is there that may be a little different than on the women's side.
Yeah. The focus is building culture, and getting these guys to play for each other. You know, for so long, they've kind of, golf is an individual sport. They've been focused on playing individual tournament golf. And if you look at the top teams in the country, you'll see, you know, I'm there, I'm at these tournaments and I watch them. They move together from putting green to driving range. They, you know, are all in one, just doesn't grab his bag out of the van and go to the range. They all move together. You know, they're trusting in each other. They're playing for each other. The chemistry at dinner, when you see them in restaurants, you know, they're about each other. And I think that was missing here for a while. And so that's one of the main focuses that we're working on is getting these guys more in tune to having that we mentality instead of the me mentality, being the we guys, not the me guys. You know, in a round, it's so easy as an individual to just, if you're not hitting it well, kind of just limp it in to get through the round and you don't care what your score is because you're just not playing that well and you are out of it. But when you start focusing on the team aspect of it and you start looking to the guy next to you, even if you're not hitting it well, you still find a way to get the ball in the hole and you're doing that for your teammate because they need you. If they're playing well and you're not, you got to find a way to score so that the team is successful. You know, I told my guys the other day, I said, you know, Evan Cox won the national championship, and I'll never forget this. We're standing on the green. They're doing the award ceremony. Evan gets announced as the individual national champion. And then Claremont Mudscripts, who had won the national championship that year, gets announced, and they're getting trophies, t-shirts, hats, watches, all this stuff. And Evan looks at me and he's like, dang, coach, I didn't even get a hat. You know, and I was like, that's because college golf is a team sport and people don't realize that. They overlooked that. I said, it doesn't matter about the individual. Yeah, you won. Great. Congrats. But at the end of the day, they're celebrating the team. And so getting these guys to understand, like, hey, you got to play for each other. If you want to have success, focus on the team success and yours will develop. So that's a big part of what we're trying to build and the culture we're trying to push here is that we mentality, not me.
Well, good. No, I think it's why the, you know, Ryder Cup and President's Cup are so popular and competitive and have a lot of fun and get the big crowds going out there. But, you know, I think we got two more questions for you here as we go ahead and wrap up with you. Mine. So we talk about all these players and whatnot, but who's the best player of the coaches? Who's the best player of all you guys sitting out there on the other side that, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter because you're not even going to get a hat like Evan Cox did out of this, but who's going to go out there? Who would win an individual tournament amongst the ODAC coaches?
Amongst the ODAC coaches?
Yeah.
Let's see. You know what? I'm actually – that's a tough – I mean, it's really a tough one. I'm going to tip my hat towards Mr. Tom Hall at Virginia Wesleyan.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Tom's a stick.
Are you going, you're picking women, men together? You're picking everybody in the pool together? What are you picking here? I mean, I may take
I know you want to take your boy Viverka.
I may take Viverka on that. And yeah. I tell you, I'm gonna throw Pete in there.
Pete can golf his ball. Jane can golf the ball. I mean, she was quite the stud golfer in college.
Johnny Rogers is gone now, swing coach. Telling you.
Tom Hall. Yeah, Tom's sneaky, man. I've known Tom for 20 years.
Wow. You heard it here first.
Holy my man's steady. He's steady old man golf right down the middle. You know, hey. I'm picking Tommy Hall.
I get texts from my dad every Tuesday because he goes out and plays with the guys down in Tampa. And, you know, he's 70 years old now, and he still goes out there. He's like, hey, I shot a 74 today. I'm like, I had two doubles on the back. I'm like, well, clean those up, and you'd be a whole lot better. So, you know, what's going on here? So,
wow. You heard it first here. All right. We'll have to – some point in time. I don't know. Viverka hits it a long, long ways. And that's the only reason why I'd be picking he's on the John Daly side of the ledger when it comes to length, I think.
I'm going to say Viverka now has two that he has to chase around.
That's true.
That fatigue could hurt him in the long run.
I think you're right. You're right. He is in pretty good shape, though. He's in pretty good shape. Well, listen. Hey, we want to say thanks for taking some time talking golf as we get geared up for the fall. Not to forget that fall golf's a fall sport as well. It's a round of the year thing, and say thank you for all your encouragement as JJ and I have slowly plodded along with our podcast. We're not sure if you're the greatest fan. You might be right up there with Gene Willie. You and Coach Willie are probably our two biggest fans. So we want to say thank you for your acknowledgement of that along the way.
So I got to ask, who do you both pick for golf? Who are your picks for the end of the year? Who do you think is going to be hoisting the ODAC trophy?
Oh, no. You're getting in a game that we don't dive into.
Yeah, we never make predictions. Oh, never do that. Nope. Would never have that.
It was worth a shot.
Part about it is, you know what? We don't know. We know about as much as you know. Because, you know, who's having a good week? I think the coolest thing about it is how much fun both of those events are. Yeah. You know, and the thing I love about golf is everything that you just said about the NCAA tournament, which I always blew my mind when I was working with it. I love the individual component of it because there's still a chance for somebody, even on a team in the ODAC, who might not win it. They're not handicapped to win it, right? You just know going in, they're just not going to have the scores depth enough to win. You still got a chance for somebody to win the medalist honors and have a chance to win it and get that number one flag, which I don't care what it is. If I was Evan, I'd been pretty proud of that process, right?
Oh, and, yeah.
That's a hell of an accomplishment.
No doubt. It was a heck of an accomplishment.
Oh, yeah. Good point on your part, though, to say that it is a team sport. Yeah. But that's the thing I like about golf. That's one of the things I've really always liked about collegiate golf is you still have a chance. Those individual kids still have a chance to place and mean it means something to them, even if their team's probably not going to win it. And you probably know it going in that your team's not going to win it just because, you know, stroke average doesn't lie over the course of time, especially for a season.
Well, I like the horses we all have in the race on the ODAC. I mean, on the men's side, you obviously you can't bet against McEwen. I mean, that kid's phenomenal. You know, and on the men's side, yeah, we might not be having the year that we've had the past couple with the conference as a whole, but we've still got some really strong teams. I mean, I would love to say that we're probably the strongest conference in college Division III golf. For sure on the men's side. And then on the women's side, I mean, it's a slugfest with us and W&L. But you can't count out, you know, the Lynchburgs. I mean, they've got some stud players there too. Lily Rowe and Gabby Holberg can put up some good numbers. You know, it's fun to watch. There's a lot of great dogs in the fight.
So yeah.
It'll be fun to see come spring.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to talk a little bit more about it, and wish you the best of luck in the off season here, and good luck with your own tiny tyke. That's always a job. In the holidays, doesn't get any better than holidays with kids. That's for sure. So,
amen.
Have
to
a great
that.
Time with that.
Thank you, guys.
Brad, as always, it's good to hear from our coaches. Brian Hearn being a very colorful addition of a coach that we've got here in the league, so we really enjoy talking to him. All the time. I'll have a conversation with him usually once every 2 weeks, I think, as the golf season is going on, just to kind of keep my ear to the ground on things. And he's done really good stuff with his women's program there. And as you could hear, trying to build it up on the men's side, which is all that more difficult given how good the ODAC is on the men's side of the ledger.
You know, I think we probably crushed him though, because we didn't say that he would be the one of the golf coaches to actually win the competition. So he's probably somewhat distraught. It's going to take him several weeks to recover from that. Fortunately, it's an off season for him, and I think we'll be fine. No, it's a fun to spend some time and get some laughs and talk about golf, because people don't necessarily may not follow it if they're not kind of tracking on Division III golf or collegiate golf. I mean, it's a big time to play in the fall. A lot of big tournaments, as you said, mentioned those the tournament going on at Guilford this coming week. So it's super exciting for us. It's a sport that we've had a good deal of success in over the years, and hopefully we'll continue in the future. And I think if, you know, Brian's prognostications or anything to lay your hand on, it sounds favorable, you know. And I think that we'll look forward to a great spring and two really good championships come April, when we're at Poplar Grove for the men in the middle part of April. And then we go to Williamsburg National for our women's championship that last full weekend in April as well. So exciting times for sure. And again, as you mentioned early on in the interview for him, we've got a ton of fall championships kind of staring us in the face. So next week's the end of regular season. I know we want to get together next week and have a podcast kind of featuring what do the brackets look like in our sports. The last one I think that we'll determine will be Saturday, November 1st for field hockey, but the others will already be in play on Saturday. So we'll have a chance to catch up to that and talk a little bit about, you know, who may be hoisting the ODAC trophy at the end of those tournaments. And we'll be probably standing in some cold fall wind on November 1st at Bridgewater as we administer the ODAC Cross Country Championships, which will be right around the corner. And not to say we're out of the championship season, but as you've mentioned to me before in the call, we got a big one tomorrow.
Yeah, we do. We've got the traditional equestrian championship going on. You had cross country on my head there as you said that, but equestrian championship heading up to Lexington and the Virginia Horse Center. Right there is you're heading up 81, just veer off the 64 West ramp and you're right there at the Virginia Horse Center. We'll be outside at one of several of their rings that they have there outside of that horse center. It's really a pretty much a mecca for equestrian competition and stabling and whatnot, education classes, that sort of thing. And it's an outstanding place, but we'll have five of our programs going there in the traditional championship. And we'll have details about the stream and the scoring sheet, that sort of thing, going up on the ODEC website here a little bit later. Just making sure we've got all that information out to you there. But looking forward to that championship. And it's the first of two championships. Previously, the last 2 years, we've done the traditional championship in the new NCEA-style single-discipline head-to-head championship in the same spring window, if you will. But now this is the first time we're doing the traditional championship in the fall. And then we'll come at you with the NCEA championship in the spring again this year. And we've got a different set of five schools that compete for that championship, three of them being the same as it'll be here at Lexington this weekend. But you've got squads from Bridgewater, Hollins, Lynchburg, Sweetbriar, and Washington and Lee that'll be up there competing in a very unique format. Nobody else competes this way in the country that we do. So it's something extraordinarily unique and 100% ODEC, if you will.
It is. I would say a collegiate championship at the Division III level is 100% ODEC anyway.
Yeah, true.
I'm not sure any of my colleagues are staging a conference championship in equestrian. It's been something that's been unique to the ODEC for many, many years. So happy to kind of see our coaches collaborate and work on a solution, not only for our traditional show, which we've had for many, many years, but also cooperating and collaborating on this head-to-head format that this year is the third year that we've done it, sponsored it as a conference collectively. And we'll go to Sweetbriar in March, as you alluded to, our spring championship in the head-to-head version. And, you know, big announcement maybe a week or so ago with Hollins actually committing to that NCEA format, which is that head-to-head format beginning in the 26-27 academic year. So we'll be adding another one of our members moving into the head-to-head ranks. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about it in the spring as we get a little bit closer. But for those horse enthusiasts that are out there that are interested in competition, that want to understand collegiate riding, I mean, this is kind of a way of taking collegiate equestrian and bottling it up into a team competition where there's a head-to-head component. Two individuals riding the same horse for a point, and then teams accumulating points along the way. It's certainly different, and it's certainly something that's way outside of our comfort zone, or at least my comfort zone, and always has been. But we've got some excellent coaches in our league that have had a great deal of success. They've been great guides for us building this championship and both of these championships into something that our student athletes enjoy.
Well, and then believe it or not, we've got more sports that are going to be added to the fray here as we get going. Is swimming and swimming is still going in the conference on the men's and women's side. Next Saturday is also the first regular season competition for wrestling, so that'll get going. And then just the week after that, we'll be into men's and women's basketball. So expect to hear a little bit of that over the next couple shows. We do. We'll probably come at you with a few of them over the next couple of weeks, because there's just a lot of information to get through and things that we want to highlight and make sure that we bring to you with a little bit of a different flavor. But expect next week's to focus on largely what we see for the upcoming fall championships, more so with the field hockey and men's and women's soccer sides. Volleyball has got another week to go thereafter before we get to that championship tournament. And then football, a few more weeks before we get to NCAA selections, and also thinking about the Chesapeake Challenge with the Landmark Conference. So get ready for our next ODEC podcast coming up next week to focus on that stuff. But for Brad Bankston, I'm JJ Nekoloff. We'll talk to you next time on the ODEC podcast.